بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا وحبيبنا وقدوتنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. اللهم أرنا الحق حقا وارزقنا اتباعه، وأرنا الباطل باطلا وارزقنا اجتنابه، علمنا ما ينفعنا وانفعنا بما علمتنا وزدنا علما، أخرجنا من ظلمات الوهم وأكرمنا بنور الفهم، وأنعم علينا يا عظيم. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. أما بعد، all praise be to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, almighty and glory, and peace be upon his beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I testify that there is no God except Allah, and I testify that Muhammad is the Prophet and the Messenger of Allah. My brothers and sisters in Islam, tonight is a beginning for a new series that inshallah we will start with you for the next upcoming Mondays. After finishing the series of the death and the hereafter, that we ask Allah Azza wa Jal had benefited those who attended to it, and I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that will benefit those who will listen to it. For tonight, once again, we start with you with a new series, a series that we ask Allah Azza wa Jal to open our hearts and minds to it. A series that we look back into history, into our grandfathers, our predecessors, our Salaf, radiallahu ta'ala anhum, of the great contribution into Islam and the civilization of Islam. Just before I continue, please, those brothers and sisters who parked their cars and blocked a car downstairs, remove your car so we don't get someone disrupting us or someone coming halfway through the lesson asking for their cars to be removed. So remember, we parked your car, please remove it. Once again, my brothers and sisters, this silsila, this series is the history and the great moments of the Islamic history. We will look into, inshallah, those great moments and those great events that took place after the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Islam is the deen of Allah Azza wa Jal that was revealed to all prophets and messengers. So Islam begins from Adam alayhi salam. Islam does not begin from Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Islam continues by Muhammad alayhi salatu wa sallam, but Islam begins with our first and grandfather Adam alayhi salam. But Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was the last prophet and messenger on earth, and Allah sealed the prophets and the messengers with the prophecy of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted Muhammad and the Quran that was revealed on Muhammad and the followers of Muhammad to be history and a great history into this world, to be a great history and to be a great remembrance for people after them. We want to speak about those great men, and we indeed say that are indeed real men that came after the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Maybe through this series, maybe through these lessons, we could find out some answers why was victory given to them and why isn't victory given to us. Because especially at the current moment, and what's happening around the world, and the oppression on the Muslims and the clear war against Islam and the Muslims that's covered under a cover and a name called terrorism. Maybe through looking into the history of those great men that were taught by the great man Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, we might come out with a lot of answers. Because history benefits, knowing what happened in the history will benefit us in the future. And knowing those great men and their great stance and their great sacrifice to this deen, inshallah, this will motivate us and give us the true enthusiasm. And this will enter our hearts to understand and realize what's our position and stance towards this deen. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says it very clearly, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُغَيِّرُ مَا بِقَوْمٍ حَتَّى يُغَيِّرُ مَا بِأَنفُسِهِمْ. Allah does not change the condition of a nation until this nation changes its condition. And I guess every single one of us, especially at this moment, where the hearts are crying and the eyes are dropping tears every second about what's happening around the world, it's time for us to realize that before we put the blame on others, there is a blame that should be always pointed at us. Allah Azza wa Jal would not change what's around us until we change ourselves. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would not give us until we give in for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah Azza wa Jal did not give victory to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the followers of the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wa sallam until they gave victory to Islam. And this is the promise of Allah, وَلَا يَنْصُرَنَّ اللَّهُ مَنْ يَنْصُرُهُ, that Allah will give victory to those who give victory to His deen. So the support of Allah comes after us supporting this deen. And the victory of Allah comes after us giving victory to this deen. After us sacrificing for Allah. And after us changing our condition. How would Allah Azza wa Jal send a victory down on a nation against its enemy when that Muslim nation itself acts like its enemies? When this Muslim nation itself behaves like its enemies? When this Muslim nation itself thinks like the way the enemy thinks, then what's the point of the victory down over its enemies? The Muslims must make a change. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah azza wa jal, would not give victory to this nation until this nation changes itself to their predecessors, to their back, and to their grandfathers, like the companions radiallahu ta'ala anhum. As a common saying of the companions, that the condition of this nation at this moment will not change until the nation at this moment changes itself to what? Their salaf, to their predecessors, made changes to themselves. Fa'insha'Allah, looking into this history, and insha'Allah hearing about the history of Islam and the Muslims, we ask Allah Azza wa Jal that this will make a change in our mind and make a change in our hearts. And insha'Allah, with these changes, when we start seeing changes in ourselves, then you're gonna start seeing changes around you. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was the great teacher. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was that great teacher and leader to the companions and to the Muslims. And what the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had taught his companions, those teachings stay to the day of judgment. Alayhi salatu wa sallam did not restrict his teachings to his followers at his time, but his teachings stay to the day of judgment. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he even said that the good is in me and in my nation to the day of judgment. Al-khayru fiyya wa fi ummati ila yawm al-qiyamah. The good is in my nation, in me and my nation, not the nation of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his time and only, but to the day of judgment. And he also says sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that there's a group, there is a group, and sometimes he said, Isaba, a gang. When we say a gang, a group of men fighting for the haq, calling for the haq, always on the truth to the day of judgment. That don't fear no one but Allah Azza wa Jal. So the truth is always in the people of the truth to the day of judgment. And there's always a selective group of people who Allah Azza wa Jal will always choose in every time and era that Allah Azza wa Jal will use him to uphold the truth in Islam. And Allah Azza wa Jal will use them to uphold the word of La ilaha illallah in accordance to their teacher Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And that moment started from the death of the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wa salam. And that's where we start our series from the death of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I guess we heard a lot about the biography of the Prophet alayhi salatu wa salam, and the great events and moments that took time at the time of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And a lot of us, when we speak about the Prophet, straight away we say, but he was a prophet and a messenger. Then why don't we speak about people that weren't prophets and messengers? They were humble people like us and them, who did not get revelation from Allah, but indeed they were true men, and indeed they were true fighters, and indeed they were true warriors. And indeed they were true Muslims and believers that Allah Azza wa Jal gave him victory. From the moment that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam passed away, and the news came out to the companions living in Medina, informing them of the death of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And you could feel and sense that that moment was the worst moment for the companions radiallahu ta'ala anhum. And that news of the death of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was the hardest news to be heard by the companions radiallahu ta'ala anhum. Anas ibn Malik says, by Allah, the most brightest day that ever entered Medina is the day that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam migrated to Medina. And by Allah, the darkest day that ever entered on Medina is the day that Muhammad departed this world to Allah Azza wa Jal. So when the news came out, the companions radiallahu ta'ala anhum, they were so upset and sad, and they took that news very hard on themselves. And one of the companions that did not want to accept that news was Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu ta'ala anhum. And Umar ibn al-Khattab, he said, by Allah, the Prophet of Allah did not die. It's only a rumor made up by the munafiqeen and hypocrites. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not die. But Muhammad went to speak to Allah the way Musa went and spoke to Allah, and Musa came back, so Muhammad will come back. Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And we speak about that man from the moment of the death of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had a true stance. Radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he went and entered the room in which the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam passed away. And he saw with his own eyes the deceased body of the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wa sallam. So he went and kissed the Prophet alayhi salatu wa sallam. And he said, by Allah, Allah Azza wa Jal had promised that you'll die. And Allah fulfilled his promise today. Allah will never gain two deaths on you, O Muhammad. And then he said, how sweet are you, O Muhammad, life and dead. And then he went out, radiallahu ta'ala anhu, and he stood on the minbar of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this is what we call a minbar. But the minbar of the Prophet alayhi salatu wa sallam was only three steps. So Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhum, in a moment where everyone is crying, and some accepting the news, and others are denying the news like Umar. And Umar threatened that anyone that says Muhammad had passed away, he will chop his head with his own sword. So radiallahu ta'ala anhu, Abu Bakr stood up on a minbar of the Prophet alayhi salatu wassalam and took opportunity to be the greatest man in history after the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And no doubt he is the greatest man after the prophets and the messengers. He stood up on a minbar of the Prophet alayhi salatu wa sallam and he said, "Man kana ya'budu Muhammadan fa inna Muhammadan qad mat wa man kana ya'budu Allah fa inna Allah hayyun la yamut." He said and he mentioned words till this day and till the upcoming days and years, people will still remember the words of Abu Bakr. He said, "Whoever used to worship Muhammad, Muhammad had died. Whoever used to worship Muhammad, well, Muhammad is dead. And whoever used to worship Allah, Allah lives, never dies." Radiallahu ta'ala an. Abu Bakr, radiallahu ta'ala anhu, a great man in history, and a great leader in history, and a great character for all Muslims to the day of judgment. He said, "Whoever used to worship Muhammad, well, Muhammad had passed away. And whoever worships Allah, Allah lives and never dies." In other words, if you worship Muhammad and you worship, was to Muhammad all your worship had finished? Well, if your worship was for Allah and only to Allah, well, your worship continues because Allah never dies. If Muhammad had passed away, well, the deen of Muhammad continues. And if Muhammad had passed away, the responsibility of Muhammad continues. Radiallahu ta'ala anhu. A great man, a great leader, that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said that the best of feet that stepped on the surface of this earth after the prophets and the messengers are the feet of Abu Bakr. Are the feet of Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says, every companion, every man that had a favor on us, we've paid back his favors, except Abu Bakr. We left it to Allah. He has too many favors over us. He had contributed so much that we can't pay him back. So we left it to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to pay him back. Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu was the second. Oh, he was the first Khalifa of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The second leader to the Muslims. And radiallahu ta'ala anhu served as a khalifa for 2.5 years until he passed away. Let's mention the most important events that took place at the time of Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Number one thing that took place is what we mentioned, is to continue the deen of Muhammad after Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Is to continue spreading the word of Islam after the death of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. And that's what Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu did from that second. He stood up to unite the Muslims' hearts and minds to realize that the deen of Muhammad continues even after his death. And because of the importance of the leadership, and because of the importance of the Muslims having a head, they delayed burying the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam until they chose a khalifa from among them. Alayhi salatu wasalam stayed where he is for 2 days and night until the companions within those 2 days and night after his death sallallahu alayhi wasalam chose a khalifa on them. And as we all know that Medina, it had its original citizens and residents, which are the Ansar. And those believers and Muslims who came from outside Medina, from Mecca and moved into Medina, they called them the Muhajirin, the migrants. The people of Ansar, after the death of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, they had the intentions to be the leaders after the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. So after the death of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, the leaders of the Ansar gathered together under a house called Bani Sa'idah. They gathered together and they were talking about who is the next leader after the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasalam. So the news came to Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu ta'ala anhu, and Umar ibn al-Khattab, from his close relationship with the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasalam, and from what he understood from the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, that no one has the rights of this khilafah except the people of the Quraysh, and from the people of Quraysh, it's Abu Bakr. So Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu grabbed Abu Bakr and went to where the Ansar were gathering. So he entered, and then they start to speak about the Khilafah. So the people of Ansar said, we are the Khulafa. From among us, the Khalifa must come out. So Abu Bakr said, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had said, Al-Khilafatu fi Quraysh, that the Khilafa, the leadership, comes out from Quraysh. So Abu Bakr said, we are the leaders, and you are the ministers. And Umar ibn al-Khattab said, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had accepted Abu Bakr for our religion, so we should accept him for our dunya. Before sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, before he passed away, alayhi salatu wa sallam was so ill that he couldn't stand up on his feet to lead the prayer. So alayhi salatu wa sallam ordered the companions to order Abu Bakr to lead the prayer. At one time, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told his wife Aisha, the daughter of Abu Bakr, tell your father to lead the prayer. So Aisha said, oh Prophet of Allah, you know my father, he's a humble, weak man. He's a humble, weak man when it comes to the recitation of the Quran al-Kareem. Choose someone else. So the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, I only accept Abu Bakr to lead the prayer. So Aisha saw one of the young companions, and she told him, go and tell Abu Bakr to lead the prayer. So that companion went into the mosque. He looked around, he didn't see Abu Bakr. So he saw Umar, so he told him, you lead the prayer. Maybe this companion thought it's just about leading the prayer. So Abu Bakr got up to lead the prayer. And Abu Bakr had a loud voice. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam heard the voice of Umar ibn al-Khattab. The voice of Umar ibn al-Khattab. Afwan, I was talking about Umar ibn al-Khattab. He had a loud voice. So the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam heard the voice of Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu ta'ala anhu leading the prayer. So sallallahu alayhi wa sallam got angry. And he said, by Allah, Allah and his Prophet and the believers, deny anyone but Abu Bakr to lead the prayer. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam got angry. He wants only and only Abu Bakr to lead the prayer. And Abu Bakr lived a bit far from the mosque. So they went and called Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu, and he came and led the prayer. So that incident was a sign for a lot of the companions after the death of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that alayhi salatu wa sallam accepts Abu Bakr to lead them in the prayer. So Umar said, the Prophet accepted him to lead us in our religion. Indeed, he'll accept him to lead us in our dunya. So all the companions, after Umar ibn al-Khattab put his hands in the hands of Abu Bakr and gave him the pledge that he is the Khalifa, all the companions put their hands in the hands of Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhum and gave him the pledge that Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhum, he is the next leader and the Khalifa of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So the Muslims, once again, after the death of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, rushed and hurried into uniting the Muslims once again together and finding a pious and righteous head for them. And that was Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu. All the Muslims gave bay'ah to Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu, including Ali, but Ali delayed his bay'ah to Abu Bakr. And the reason that Ali delayed his bay'ah to Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu is because of a small conflict between Abu Bakr and Fatima, the daughter of Abu Bakr and the wife of Ali. And that simple conflict between Fatima and Abu Bakr is after the death of Abu Bakr, Fatima came to ask for inheritance from the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was given a small portion of land from Khaybar. So Fatima, after the death of her father, she came to ask for that portion of land. So Abu Bakr said, with all respect, but sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, us, the prophets and messengers, do not leave any inheritance behind after our death. And for that, Fatima, I do not have anything to give you. Because of that, Fatima got upset from Abu Bakr. And because Fatima was upset from Abu Bakr, Ali followed his wife in that. After 6 months, Fatima radiallahu ta'ala anha passed away. And Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he came and gave bay'ah to Abu Bakr in front of all the believers. And these are very important points in history, in Islam, that people must understand. Ali, after 6 months, he came and gave bay'ah to Abu Bakr. And he made it very clear to Abu Bakr that what was upset from you is not the khilafah. It's not the khilafah. And he told him, no one has rights over the khilafah except you, Abu Bakr. But what we're upset from is that small incident over the inheritance of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Ali ibn Abi Talib, he got up on the minbar and he gave bay'ah in front of all the Muslims and the believers attending at the mosque of the Prophet alayhi salatu wa sallam to Abu Bakr. And that was a happy moment for the believers and the Muslims at that time. And what I mentioned to you are authentic narrations mentioned in Sahih al-Bukhari. These are great incidents and events that took place at the time of Abu Bakr. The death of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam was a change for a lot of people, especially the weak-minded and the weak-hearted and those who had weak iman in them. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasalam, what he managed to accomplish within 23 years, no leader and no leader in the future had ever done. And that's an amazing part of the prophecy of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam and the leadership of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasalam, that someone like Muhammad, out of nowhere, he came out and within 23 years, he managed to accomplish a civilization that people and countries and empires been trying to do for centuries. The death of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasalam was a great test to a lot of people. Those who had iman and strong iman, their iman got stronger. And those who had love to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam and true love to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam after his death, their love increased. But obviously, there was a lot of tribes in the Arabian Peninsula around Mecca and Medina with weak-minded and weak-hearted people, which the death of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam really made them even more weak over the weakness they had. The death of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam made a lot of Muslim tribes upstate Islam and leave Islam. Made a lot of Muslim tribes leave Islam. And those who did not leave Islam left some of the pillars of Islam, like stop paying zakat. And the majority of people at the time of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam who became Muslim, the majority of them left Islam. Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he described that the Muslims and those who stayed firm on the religion, they became so minority. They became a small number compared to the people who left Islam. He said, we became like a white hare in a black bull. Like a white hare in a black cow. Like one white hare out of between those thousands and thousands of black hairs. That's how many people left Islam. Weakness. People left Islam. There was a lot of tribes who became Muslims during the lifetime of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and after his death, they left Islam saying, he's a prophet, he shouldn't die. Subhanallah, weakness. They still have that habit, and they still have those attachment, or the attachment to the Jahiliyyah. They said Muhammad had passed away, then he's not a prophet, we don't want his religion anymore. Others left Islam because someone like Musaylam al-Kadhab. Musaylam al-Kadhab, he had a big tribe behind him, Banu Hanifa. Banu Hanifa, there was thousands of them, in the hundreds of thousands, a lot of them became Muslims. When the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam passed away, Musaylam al-Kadhab stood up and he said, Muhammad passed on the prophecy to me. So I am the next prophet and messenger after Muhammad. And because he is from Bani Hanifa, still the Jahiliyyah did not clean out, and still the Jahiliyyah still in Bani Hanifa, they said, huh, we've got a prophet from our tribe now, let's follow him. And three quarters of them knew that this man is a compulsive liar, but just because he is from their tribe, they followed him. And then you had the other type of people who did not leave Islam fully, but they stopped paying zakat. And they said, since the death of Muhammad, or since Muhammad had died, there is no point for us to paying zakat. So that was the fitna. That was the great hardship that Abu Bakr was facing. At the same time, Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu wanted to continue a recommendation of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which was before the death of the Prophet alayhi salatu wa salam put an army together with the leadership of Usama bin Zayd. And Usama bin Zayd was only 17 years old. And a lot of companions criticized the choice of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam of having Zayd or Usama bin Zayd as a leader. So sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the way you criticize Usama, you criticize his father, and by Allah, this army is going to continue. And who was in that army? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had assigned Abu Bakr and Umar to be in the army. Under who? Under a teenager, that Abu Bakr and Umar were Muslims before this teenager was born. So the death of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam delayed the army to continue its mission. So Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu, after he took the leadership, he insisted that this army will continue its journey and continue what the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wanted to continue. Although Abu Bakr was in need of the number of the people in the army to fight those who upstated Islam. And here Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he faces a great tragedy in front of him, a great hardship, not from the enemy, but from the enemy within. The Muslims themselves left Islam, and Abu Bakr must fight them. When Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, I was ordered by Allah to fight people until they testify that there is no God except Allah and Muhammad is messenger, and for them to perform the salah and to pay the zakat. Even Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu declared war on those who did not leave Islam but they left paying the zakat. The Umar came to Abu Bakr and said, oh Abu Bakr, are you going to fight people who say La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah, and they pray and fast, but because they stopped paying zakat? Abu Bakr got up on his feet and he said, by Allah, I will fight them over a rope or a young goat they used to give it to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he grabbed Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu and he shook him and he said, oh Umar, you're a brave man during the Jahiliyyah, but now in Islam you're becoming a coward. By Allah, I would not leave one single thing they used to pay it to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Umar ibn al-Khattab, he said, by Allah, I saw a stance that I've never seen before in my life from Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And here Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu will prepare different troops and armies to fight against those who upstated Islam. So radiallahu ta'ala anhu, becoming a khalifa, he faced a great tragedy in front of him that Islam will be lost if Abu Bakr did not do what he had to do. The scholars, rahimahumullah, they say, that stance of Abu Bakr, if Abu Bakr did not take that strong stance against those who left Islam, maybe these days we don't have something called Islam and Muslims. So many people left Islam. So many people, the majority of Muslims left Islam, if I say 90% and over. So Abu Bakr wanted to show people that Islam is strong even after the death of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And Islam has its say even after the death of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And the Muslims are united and the Muslims are victorious and the Muslims are strong even after the death of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And radiallahu ta'ala anhu, with his strong iman, with his strong piety, with his strong righteousness and a strong relationship to Allah, he did manage to change that thought in the minds of people. So radiallahu ta'ala anhu, within his term of 2.5 years, he managed to turn the circle that was going against Islam. He made it towards and for Islam. رضي الله تعالى عنه. And he fought all those tribes, all those cities, all those towns, the upstarted Islam, and he made them come back to Islam. And a lot of them came to Islam and became strong Muslims that later on they were with the Muslims fighting for Islam. That 2 years, the scholars say, Abu Bakr has a great favor over the Muslim world for his stance. Radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Abu Bakr has a great favor over every Muslim till this day because of his stance and his changes that he made in this world. Radiallahu ta'ala anhu, for the sake of continuing the mission of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And that's what they refer to Hurub al-Ridda, the war against those who upstarted Islam. The war against those who had upstarted Islam. And Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu was from among those who used to go out in the army and fight in the path of Allah to call people once again to the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And by the last days of Abu Bakr's time, the whole Arabian Peninsula came back to Islam the way it was at the time of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And it was easier for Umar ibn al-Khattab to take over the Khilafah of Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu and to continue now spreading Islam to the east and the west. And when Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he came in, Umar ibn al-Khattab was... His time was spreading Islam to the east and the west. And Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu ta'ala anhu served a term of about 10 years radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Within that term, he managed to destroy the greatest two empires, the great empire in the east, the Persian Empire, and the great empire in the west, the Roman Empire. Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, at his time, and the people that were around him, he managed to destroy those two empires and spread Islam through the east and the west. Radiallahu ta'ala anhum, these are the great companions and the great events that we want to hear so we could reflect in our life and realize the sacrifice that radiallahu ta'ala anhum sacrificed and what do we offer to Islam. They were men, indeed men, as Allah Azza wa Jalla described them, رجال من المؤمنين رجال لا تلهيهم تجارة ولا بيع عن ذكر الله. From among the believers there are men. So not all the believers are men. And not all the Muslims are believers. But from the Muslims that are men, from the Muslims that are believers, and from the believers that are men, and those men who Allah had described, nothing distracts them in this world from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Their heart is always with Allah, and always remembering Allah, pleasing Allah for Allah, and only for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Inshallah, my brothers and sisters, we continue with you inshallah the next Mondays over these great events going from Abu Bakr, Umar, Uthman, Ali, and after them till the last moment of last century, the greatest events that took place. And then inshallah we ask Allah Azza wa Jal that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes us reflect on those events and get the best of understanding and the meaning from them. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. Wa salatu wa salamu ala Sayyidina wa Habibina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Allahumma ihdina wa ihdibina wa ja'alna sababan liman ihtada. Allahumma ihdi ummata Muhammadin sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allahumma aslih ummata Muhammadin sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allahumma aghfir lil muslimina wal muslimat wal mu'minina wal mu'minat al ahya'i minhum wal amwat. Innaka ya Rabbana qareebun mujibun lid da'awat. Allahumma ansur al Islam wal muslimin. Allahumma ansur al Islam wal muslimin. Allahumma ansur al Islam wal muslimin. Allahumma izz al Islam wal muslimin. اللهم عز الإسلام والمسلمين اللهم عز الإسلام والمسلمين اللهم أتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار يا مقلب القلوب والأبصار ثبت قلوبنا على دينك يا مصرف القلوب والأبصار صرف قلوبنا إلى طاعتك وفقنا لما تحبه وترضاه استخدمنا لدينك ورفع راية نبيك اللهم إنا نسألك الهدى والتقى والعفاف والغنى نسألك من خير ما سألك منه عبدك ونبيك محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم ونعوذ بك من شر ما استعاذك منه عبدك ونبيك محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم أنت المستعان عليك البلاغ ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين